What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday as we get ready to preview the Swag Championship game. The spring season has come, and it has come to its conclusion. We made it. We survived. Had some cancellations, opt-outs, postponements, and you name it, but we made it. So here we go, man. We are at the Swag Championship. And this game will be played in Jackson, Mississippi, which is basically a centrally located area between UAPB and Arkansas and Alabama A&M. The tiebreakers never really materialized, so they basically said they were going to play the game at a neutral site. So here we go. Pine Bluff, we'll start with the Golden Lions. They come into this game at 4-0. They opened up their season on March 6th, beating Southern 33-30. On March 20th, they beat Grambling 48-21. They had a game against Alabama State on March 27th that was canceled due to weather. April 3rd, they beat Valley 24-17. They beat Prairie View 36-31 to close out their regular season. And their game last Saturday against Texas Southern was canceled. So they come in undefeated at 4-0 and 4-0 in conference. They've only played one home game and three games on the road. So, they've looked good, you know, for the bulk of the season. They have had some stretches where they kind of didn't look up to par, especially in the Valley game. They struggled at times. In the Alabama State game, they really struggled, and they would look like they may have been on the verge of dropping that game, but they found a way to put, they found out that the game would not be completed. So they had to cancel that game due to weather. So Pine Bluff comes into this game averaging 35 points per game. They're allowing 24 points per game. They have 141 total points. They're allowing 99 total points. They have 22 rushing first downs, 45 passing first downs, 5 first downs by penalty, good for 72 first downs. The opponent's 22 rushing first downs, 41 passing, 13 by penalty, good for 76 total first downs. Pine Bluff has run for 508 yards. On 149 carries, that's good for 3.4 yards per carry, 127 yards per game, and 4 rushing touchdowns. So as you can see, they don't really have that great of a rushing attack. They do it a bit by committee, and the quarterback, Skylar Perry, does a good chunk of that. Defensively, they've been very stout against the run. They've allowed 435 yards total on 126 carries, good for 3.5 yards per carry, and 108.8 yards per game and 5 touchdowns. So the defense has been very good against the run this year. That's really in due in part to their solid defensive line. The Pine Bluff is 80 of 145 passing, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 1,022 yards, 255 yards per game. The opponent's 82 of 150, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 1,017 yards, 254.2 yards per game. So as you can see, they give up more yardage through the air. They're kind of susceptible to the passing game, so that's definitely going to be an issue coming into this game. Although they have some very good pieces in their secondary, but they're more of a try to get to you first kind of team. If they don't, then they're very susceptible to being taken advantage of through the air. Total offense, 1530 yards for Pine Bluff on 294 plays. That's 5.2 yards per play, 382.5 yards per game, 19 touchdowns. The opponent's 1,452 yards on 276 plays, good for 5.3 yards per play, 363 yards per game, and 13 total touchdowns. Pine Bluff is averaging, they're averaging 38.4 yards per punt. The opponent's 33.6. Third downs, Pine Bluff is 26 of 67 for 38% and 3 of 9 on fourth down for 33%. The opponent's 18 of 57 on third down for 31% and 5 of 10 on fourth down for 50%. Pine Bluff has fumbled 5 times and lost 4. The opponents have fumbled 9 times and lost 6. 16 sacks for Pine Bluff, and they've only allowed 4. So their offensive line is very, very stout. They don't allow much pressure to get to the quarterback. And a matter of fact, in 2019, they only, I think, allowed 5 sacks all season. So this line is very experienced and they're very solid. They're not going to make a lot of mistakes, and you're not going to get to the quarterback that often. Pine Bluff is 11 of 15 in the red zone with 9 touchdowns. The opponent's 10 of 13 in the red zone with 8 touchdowns. Individually, Pine Bluff is led in rushing by Mateus Clark. He has 53 carries for 168 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. That's good for 42 yards per game. Omar Allen, 40 carries, 146 yards, 3.7 yards per carry, 36.5 yards per game. And Skylar Perry, 36 carries, 145 yards, 4 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 36.2 yards per game. So as you can see, they basically have a three-headed monster. But I would like to see the running backs get do a little bit better job of maintaining the rushing game to help them out in this game, especially. They're going to need a kind of a traditional rushing attack to kind of keep A&M slowed down for a bit on defense. On offense, slow down the A&M offense. Skylar Perry is 79 of 142 passing, 1,005 yards, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's completing 55% of his passes, 251 yards per game. Josh Wilkes, leading receiver, 19 catches, 293 yards, 15.4 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns, 73.2 yards per game. Tyrann Ralph, 20 catches, 275 yards, 13.7 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 68.7 yards per game. Harry Ballard, 18 catches, 253 yards, 14.06 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 63.2 yards per game. Jeremy Brown, 6 catches for 81 yards, 13.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 20.2 yards per game. And DeJuan Miller, 8 catches for 79 yards, 9.8 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 19.7 yards per game. Ralph is on it. Tyrann Ralph is also a great return man. He actually had the game-winning punt return against Valley, so that's a weapon that they have that they can use. Harry Ballard's a big-bodied receiver that can make plays. Josh Wilkes is a speedy guy. He's been able to get deep down the field and make plays. And don't count out DeJuan Miller. He's another guy who can hurt you. And Jeremy Brown is a tight end type of guy that can make some key plays when he needs to. So they definitely have some guys who they count on, and they're all experienced. So they definitely know how to play. This is obviously a new element for them to play in a game like this, but they have game experience. They're really focused and ready. And they don't really throw to the backs a lot. Eight catches combined between Allen and Clark. So you don't really have to account for them too much. But, you know, in a game like this, you need to keep an eye on everybody. Kobe Watts is the leading tackler with 29 total tackles. Isaac Peppers, 27. Jalen Thigpen, 25. Sean Steele, 24. Timon Atkins, 17. Xavier Mitchell, 16. Solomon Brooks, 14. Marcus Askew, 13. Tyler Smith, 13. Kevin Johnson, 11. Stanley Bentley, 10. Paul Reeves, 8. Isaiah Singleton, 7. Zion Farmer, Javon Gray, and Monroe Beard, III, was 6. DeCarlo Hamilton and Andre Fuller with 5 tackles, along with Ja'Cari McKinney, who also has 5 tackles. Tackles for loss, Isaac Pepper, 6.5. Kobe Watts, 5.5. Thigpen, 4. Mitchell, 3.5. Akins and Beard with 3 each. Smith, Farmer, and Newton each have 2 tackles for loss. Steele, Askew, Reeves, Gray, and Hamilton each have 1.5 tackles for loss. Brooks, Johnson, and Smith each have 1 tackle for loss. And Bentley and Singleton each have 0.5 tackle for loss. They have 43 tackles for loss on the season, so they do a good job of making plays in the backfield. And that's one of the reasons why they don't allow very many yards rushing. But that's not really going to be a huge factor, at least shutting down a running game in a game like this. But it's going to be pressure. It is important. Isaac Peppers has 5.5 sacks, so he's a guy who's definitely going to be looking to pressure Akil Glass. Xavier Mitchell has 3 sacks. Chris Newton, 1.5. Kobe Watts with 1. Tyler Smith, 1. Askew, 1. Reeves, 1. And Ethan Smith has 1 sack. And then Beard and Gray each have a half a sack apiece. Interceptions, Jalen Thigpen with 4. So he's obviously a guy that you want to steer clear of when you throw the ball. But you know A&M is probably going to challenge him because that's what they do as a passing attack. Monroe Beard with 1 interception. Sean Steele with an interception. And Johnson with an interception. So Pablo's defense has improved over the last 2 or 3 years. They went from being very bad in 2018 to being kind of average in 2019 to being a better defense. I won't call them great or really good yet, but they're capable. They can force turnovers and they can get stops, and that's going to be very important in a game like this because they're facing a Alabama A&M team who is obviously one of the hottest offenses, if not the hottest offense in the conference right now. They don't. They haven't played very many games this season. They've only played 3 on-field games, and they have a forfeit from Alcorn. But they opened that season with a March 6, 31-7 victory over South Carolina State. Then they had games against Prairie View postponed twice, a game against Grambling postponed, and then they played Jackson State on April 10th. They beat them 52-43. Then they played Alabama State in the Magic City Classic, defeating them 38-14. And then the last game against Valley was canceled, which sets them up for this game today. I mean, this weekend. So they're 3-0. They have yet to play a true home game. They're 1-0 in neutral sites and 2-0 at on road games. They do have a home win due to forfeit to Alcorn, but they did not play an actual on-the-field game at home due to COVID postponements. The Bulldogs come in averaging 40.3 points per game, 121 total points. They allow 21.3 points per game, good for 64 total points. They have 19 rushing first downs, 46 passing, 10 by penalty, good for 75 first downs. The opponent's 27 rushing first downs, 28 passing, 5 by penalty. That's good for 60 first downs. A&M has run for 376 yards on 94 carries. That's good for 4 yards per carry, 125.3 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. They've allowed 486 yards on 109 carries, 4.5 yards per carry, 162 yards per game, and 4 touchdowns. 67 of 114 passing, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 1,084 yards. That's good for 361.3 yards per game. The opponents have 55 completions, 101 attempts, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 559 yards, 186.3 yards per game. Total offense, 1,460 yards for the Dogs on 206 plays, good for 486.7 yards per game, 7 yards per play, 16 touchdowns. The opponents, 1,045 yards on 210 plays, 5 yards per play, 348 yards per game, 9 touchdowns. The Bulldogs average 39.2 yards per punt. The opponents, 33.5. Third downs, A&M 14 of 34 for 41%. 1 for 2 on fourth down for 50%. The opponents 20 of 47 on third down for 42%, and 1 for 3 on third down for 33%. Bulldogs have not fumbled at all this year. The opponents have fumbled 3 times and lost all 3. 4 sacks for A&M, and the opponents have won 12 of 12 in the red zone for A&M. They have 10 touchdowns in the red zone. The opponents are 6 of 9 with 6 touchdowns in the red zone. Gary Qualls is the leading rusher with 53 carries for 249 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 83 yards per game. Cameron Young, 8 carries, 61 yards, 7.6 yards per carry, 20.3 yards per game. Akil Glass, 11 carries for 32 yards, 2.9 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 10.6 yards per game. Quintarius Daniel, 5 carries for 31 yards, 6.2 yards per carry, 10.3 yards per game. Passing, Akil Glass, 67 of 113, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 1,084 yards. He's completed 59.2% of his passes, 361 yards per game. leading receivers. Abdul Ibrahim has 18 catches for 277 yards. That's good for 15.3 yards per catch. Three touchdowns, 92.3 yards per game. Zabrian Moore, 8 catches, 252 yards, 31.5 yards per catch. That's a sick number. Three touchdowns, 84 yards per game. Odoo Hilaire, 13 catches, 215 yards, 16.5 yards per catch, 4 touchdowns, 71.6 yards per game. Brian Jenkins, 11 catches for 18 yards, 10.7 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 39.3 yards per game. Gary Quarles, 5 catches for 88 yards, 17.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 29.3 yards per game. Terrell Gardner, 4 catches for 40 yards, 10 yards per catch, 13.3 yards per game. Anthony Howard, 3 catches for 39 yards at 13 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 13 yards per game. Defensively, they're led in tackles by Armani Holloway with 20, Tariq Cofield with 13, Quintravis Kelly, 13, Amari Holloway, 11, Trenton McGee, 10, Marcus Cushini, 8, Jamarian Green, 8, Selmar Russell with 8, Jonathan Strugg, 7, Xavier Billingsley, Denzel Davis, Hayden Guilford, Joseph Narcisse, each have 6 tackles. Dami Adejunko and Eli Jackson have 5. Caleb Riley also has 5. Demetrius Biambi has 4. Tackles for loss, Armani Holloway, 4. Marcus Cushini, 4. Kelly, 3. Russell, 2.5. Jackson, 2. Colefield, 1. Amari Holloway with 1. Jamarian Green, 1. Xavier Billingsley, 1. McKenzie, 1. Guilford, Narcisse, and McGee each have a half a tackle for loss. Sacks, Cushing, 5. Kelly, 1. Jackson, 1. Amari Holloway, 1. McKenzie, 1. Interceptions, Kelly has both their interceptions. So, obviously, if you look at this game, most people are going to say this game is going to be an offensive game. And for the most part, I would not disagree. I think the defense who can get the most stops, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, is going to be the team that probably wins this game. Obviously, special teams is going to be a factor in a game like this. Pine Bluff has blocked a couple punts this year. They also have a punt return for a touchdown. So if they can use special teams to flip the field and to get themselves good field position, then that gives them a good shot to win this game. I don't think neither team is going to run the ball a whole lot. I think Pine Bluff may try to run it a little bit more because they do have a slightly bit more of a running identity. With Skylar Perry as the quarterback, with being a mobile guy who can use his legs, that's going to be a threat for A&M to have to keep a count of. But the Bulldogs have a ton of guys who can catch the ball. They have slot guys, they have big guys on the outside, they have tight ends that can catch the ball, and they have a trigger man that can put the ball wherever he wants to, as long as he has the time in the pocket. So that's honestly probably going to be the key, is protecting glass. Neither team has allowed any sacks, hardly. I think both teams combined to allow 5 sacks on the season. So Pine Bluff does a good job of getting to the quarterback. So that's where they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to try to get as much pressure as they can with their front four to, because they're going to have guys, they're going to have to cover guys. And that means that their linebackers and safeties are going to have to cover well in space. If you remember the Jackson State game, their linebackers and safeties got ate up in space because they ended up in a lot of one-on-one situations with slot guys like Hilaire and Jenkins Jr. and also Quarles at the backfield. So that middle of the field is going to be attacked by A&M. They're going to spread you out. And Glass, if he can make his reads, he's going to kill you. There's no two ways about that. I don't think Pine Bluff is going to get outside of what they normally do by, I don't think they're going to run the ball 40 times in this game. But I think they're going to have to try to control the ball as much as they can. If you do have to allow A&M to move the ball, you're going to want them to move the ball on long drives, limit the explosive plays. The longer a team has to drive the field, the more apt there is for a mistake, whether it's a turnover or even just getting a stop. You want to cut down on the explosive plays for Anna, because they can hit you deep and they can hit you hard with multiple guys who are capable of breaking a big play. So they're going to have to be aware of that. I think Pine Bluff is more of a team that's going to kind of not so much take what you give them, but they're going to spread the ball around and move the ball not as explosively as A&M. So I like A&M in this matchup. I think obviously there's a lot of the elephant in the room, you know, is the Connell Maynor rumor with the Southern University job. And that has, at this point, has been stated to be false. But we don't know what kind of impact that had on the team at all. They very well could have, you know, knew about this and not worried about it. Or it could be something that has a lingering effect. You know, you never know in a game like this. Neither team has been in a situation like this. So this is a new situation for both teams. And that's also a factor that can be one of the things that takes place at the first 5 minutes of this game. I think it's a cliche, and I love it. You know, the first 5 minutes of each half are the most important of any game. And the first 5 minutes of this game are going to be very important. And I don't necessarily mean that, you know, whoever has the ball has to score in the first 5 minutes, but you have to kind of set the tone and dictate your tempo and your pace on this game early. You want to set, you know, set the identity of this game, and maybe you can kind of, you know, get control of it early and often, you know, with your big plays. But it's going to be interesting to see who comes out, you know, aggressive, you know, how each team approaches the beginning of this game, because that will go a long way in deciding the winner. So with that being said, and this game has been talked about all over the place, and I don't think, you know, this place is any different, I'm going to go with A&M in this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think I'm going to say 38-31. I think A&M will get enough stops. Maybe they get a big turnover late to give them a chance to win this game. So I like Alabama A&M to pull this game out, like I said, 38-31. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. It may not start the way a lot of people think, you know, this game might start. It may not be a track meet early, but I think it's one of those games that once they fill each other out, that the big plays will start to come, and the team who can land the most punches is obviously going to be the one that wins. So that's, you know, this is a game that I'm very, very looking forward to. Again, this game is obviously on Saturday, and it is scheduled for a 2:00 kickoff. And this ESPNU broadcast, I believe it is, ESPN2 broadcast, 2:00. Jackson, Mississippi. So tune in and enjoy this game. Before we get out of here, I want to go ahead and plug a few things. Facebook.com/WackTalk, Twitter.com/WackTalk76, Instagram.com/WackTalk, and SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, we have a YouTube page now. You can search Swag Talk Show. That's the title of the page. Go ahead, and if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to the channel. We are over 100 subscribers at this point. The page has been blowing up rapidly. 100 subscribers. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't. Like all the videos that you watch. Share them with everybody. Go ahead and get the word on Swag Talk out there. And make sure when you watch those videos that you click the notification bell so you're alerted to any time that I upload videos. I'll have more content more frequently on YouTube than I will here. YouTube videos are going to be a lot shorter and, you know, more quick hitter and popcorn type information, whereas this is a little bit more information driven and statistically driven. So if you want more of a quick hitter, you know, free flowing freestyle type of thing, that's YouTube. If you want statistical stuff, this is where you come. And that's pretty much going to do it for me. I'm not really going to talk about the Southern University coaching search here. If you want to get my thoughts on that, check my YouTube page, because I'm dropping videos as pretty much as frequently as I get news on the search. So it's a lot easier for me to throw something on YouTube in that aspect than it is to make a podcast. And so with that being said, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And continue to love and support. And I thank everybody for the support. And we will see you guys this weekend when we recap this game. So everybody have a good rest of your week and be safe out there. We out.